One thing is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
Wow. I want to talk to you about the supernatural the power behind God's kind of success. The prosperity of God's Spirit in your life. No one can understand anything about the anointing of God's Spirit until you know the one behind the anointing, because the anointing really has to do with His presence. Now I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. You know, the many who don't know the person of the Holy Spirit, a lot of people think he's just an influence. He's more than an influence. You know, when you talk about the Godhead, we refer a lot to the Father, and Jesus is His Son. Amen. Jesus said He is the Son of God. And the Bible says that God proved Jesus to be His Son by the resurrection from the dead. He raised Him from the dead to prove He is His Son. But God has a spirit. When God says something, the doer is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is the doer of God's work. Say that with me. The Spirit of God is a doer of God's work. Say it again. The Spirit of God is the doer of God's work. One more time. Say the Holy Spirit is the doer of God's work. He is the doer. He carries out the work of God. God speaks, and the Holy Spirit does it. There's another beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit. He is the voice of God. He brings the word of God to your spirit. Otherwise, you would never be able to hear God. But the Holy Spirit makes the word of God clean to you. Communicable to you, the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you will never hear the voice of God. You cannot understand the voice of God. The Holy Spirit brings the Word of God to you in a way that you can receive it and understand it. The Holy Spirit is not a formless, impersonal entity. No, He's a person. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is a person. He's a person. What does the Holy Spirit look like? He looks like you. He looks like you. The Bible says that He made you in His own image. Did you know that you were made by the Holy Spirit? Did you know that He was the one that actually created you? You never thought about it. It wasn't the Father that created you. It was the Holy Spirit that actually created you. He created you for the Father. Holy Spirit made you. You didn't know that. You know, when you study in the book of Genesis, beginning with verse 1, chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." And it uses the word Elohim, which is plural for God. But then he says, the Spirit of God, He's the first to be introduced in the Godhead. He's the first to be introduced. He says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. He hovered over the waters. Because the Bible tells us that the earth was without form and void. It was a chaotic mass. And the darkness covered the face of the deep. So the Holy Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light. And the Bible tells us there was light. And it goes on to tell us about the various things that God spoke and how they came into being. He said this and they came into being. But who brought them into being? The Holy Spirit did. Turn to the book of Job. Just for a second. Job chapter 33. Read verse 4. Have you seen verse 4? One, two, go. Did you see that? The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. So the Holy Spirit actually made you. Now you can understand why the Bible tells us that His delight was with the sons of men. In Proverbs chapter 8, from verse 30. Go there. Proverbs chapter 8. Reading from verse 30. Yeah. In the NIV, it says, then I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in mankind. He was a craftsman. He was the maker. God spoke. The Father spoke. The Spirit brought it to pass. Where was Jesus in all of this? He was not there. You say, where was Jesus? He was not there. So, where did Jesus come from? Go back to Genesis chapter 1. Let's read from verse 1 to verse 3. 1, 2, go. Read your Bible. From verse 1. Genesis chapter 1, from verse 1. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God said something. Hallelujah. and tells us there was light. He said, let there be light. God spoke. The Spirit brought it to pass. And you can keep reading until you get to verse 26 where he says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Where did Jesus come from? Simple. St. John chapter 1. Let's begin with verse 1. You ready? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Stop for a moment. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by the Word. I told you, God spoke His Word, and the Spirit was the craftsman. He said, I was at His side as a craftsman. God spoke His Word, and the Holy Spirit brought it to pass. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. God never leaves His throne. He's always on His throne. If God wanted to move from here to there, He doesn't have to get up and go there. That which goes from God, Jesus described the Holy Spirit as He that proceeds from the Father. He proceeds from the Father. So if God was sitting on the throne here and He wanted to do something over there, He would go from here to there and He'd be doing what He wants to do there and He would still be here. The one that proceeds from Him is called the Spirit of God. He looks like Him. He's one with Him. You see, the Holy Spirit is the person of the Godhead that functions in different places at the same time. The Father doesn't do that. As the Father, He remains on the throne. Everything He does, everywhere, He does by the Holy Spirit. When He speaks His Word, His Spirit brings it to pass. His Spirit is called the messenger of His presence. That means the carrier of His presence. Do you get it? The Father is not here right now. He's in heaven. How can we experience the Father as we're here now? We can only experience the Father when the Holy Spirit brings His presence to us. The Holy Spirit is the conveyor of the Father's presence. He's called the angel of His presence. He carries the Father's presence, such that you can have the real presence of the Father as though you were in the throne room with the Father. He brings you the presence of God. That's why you can experience the presence of God. You can experience the love of God because the Holy Spirit brings you that presence. Are you following this? Okay. So when God speaks, the Spirit brings it to pass. But the miracle happened somewhere along the line. We just read St. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. I want you to read verse 14. Or maybe let's take it from verse 12. Let's go to verse 12. St. John chapter 1 from verse 12. I want to show you something. It says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. What did they receive? As many as received Him. You see, He talks about His Word, and He never used it for His Word. He gave us a personality. He says, all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. As many as received Him, He gave the power to become the sons of God. If He would give someone power to become, who could He be? He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word is God. You agree with that? The Word of God is God. Now let's look at something. Go to verse 9. Same book, same chapter. Verse 9. Let's read something there. It says, that was the true light which lighted every man that cometh into the world. Verse 10. He was in the Word, and the Word was made by Him, and the Word knew Him not. Now it says, the light that lighted every man that cometh into the world. Now this is remarkable. He is telling us that every human being that has been born into this world has been given a light to know that there is a God. Not even the atheists can honestly say that there is no God. The Bible says only a fool. And who's a fool? One who chooses to ignore truth. Not one who doesn't know the truth, but one who chooses to ignore truth. He knows the truth and he has chosen to ignore it. That's the one that's called a fool. So the Bible says the fool says in his heart that there is no God. It says that was the true light that lights every man that comes into the world. Now look at verse 10. It says he was in the world. He was in the world and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. Who was in the world? The Word. He's still telling us about the Word of God from verse 1. He says the Word of God is the true light. Then he says he was in the world. The world was made by him. But the world didn't know him. He was in the world. And the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. Verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was in the world. The world was made by him. The world didn't know him. What was this? Prophets and preachers spoke the word of God through many generations. Men were born with a light in them to know there is a God. They ignored the truth. He sent preachers to them. They rejected the truth. They didn't believe. He was in the world. The world was made by him. The world knew him not. Then he came unto his own, and his own didn't receive him. Why did he say he came unto his own? Because you see, with the covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, he had chosen the people for himself. And the Bible tells us that he gave them laws by Moses. And what happened? They turned their backs on him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Then it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become. As many as received him, to them he gave the power to become. And this is very remarkable. To understand this, there's a lot more you have to learn. Firstly, let me read from here to verse 13, and then I'll explain further to you. But as many as received unto them, he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Did you see that? Even to them that believe on his name. Okay? Then he comes very close to something beyond what he wanted to talk about. And then he says, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's the closest John comes to talking about something that was beyond the area of his discourse. Why? Because he wanted to talk about Jesus, the Son of God, who came in flesh. From when he came till when he died and ascended to heaven. That's all the story he wanted to tell you. He didn't want to go beyond to talk about those who followed him afterward. He didn't want to talk about the life beyond the resurrection. But this verse 13 was the closest he came to talking about it. But then he goes into verse 14 and picks up his discussion here. He says, and the Word was made flesh. Now, the same word that's translated and there, you could read but. Or you could put another word there, now. Now, the Word was made flesh. Or but the Word was made flesh. Because there's a conjunction there, and it's trying to pick up from where he left off. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And then in parentheses, he tells us, we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Did you see that? Which means he could have gone this way. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Did you see that? Full of grace and truth. Full of grace and reality. He says the Word was made flesh. That's where Jesus came from. Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. The Word became flesh. You know, back in the garden, the Bible tells us the voice of God came walking in the garden. Adam and Eve never saw God. They heard the voice of God walking. In other words, all they knew was the Word of God. They heard the Word. They heard the Word. The voice of God. They heard His Word. They didn't see the Spirit. But they heard His Word. Now that Word, the Bible says, became flesh. That Word put on flesh and was born of a virgin in Bethlehem. And He was called Jesus. That's where Jesus came from. So Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. That's why we say Jesus is God. Because the Word of God is God. And Jesus said, I and my Father are one. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Why? The Bible says He is the outward expression of the Father. He is the effulgence of His glory. In other words, if you want to see God, you look at Jesus. Because He says, He is the expression of the Father. He is the Word of God. And He is co-equal with the Father and co-equal with the Spirit. Because He was the voice of the Spirit of God made flesh. Can you see that? That's why the description of the Holy Spirit given to us in the book of Revelation is Jesus' personality. Let's go there. You want to see it? Revelation chapter 1. You ready? Okay. I'll read from verse 10. Revelation chapter 1 from verse 10. Now John, the disciple of Jesus, was the one who was given this revelation. So I want you to listen to it. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Verse 11. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in the book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, 13. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Now I want you to listen now. He describes what he saw. He says, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. 14. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. 15. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burn in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. 16. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Wow. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Then go on, verse 18, you'd see this now. I am he that liveth and was dead. Uh-oh. That's Jesus. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Can you see there's nothing to fear? He, Jesus, has the keys of hell and of death. You don't even have to fear death. He has the keys of hell and death. He has authority over death. Go to the book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. That he might destroy, paralyze, that's what the word is. Paralyze, render helpless and useless and inactive and inoperative. He rendered the devil powerless. Says that through death, when Jesus died, that's what he did to the devil. Through death, that he might destroy, paralyze him that had the power of, that had the power of death. Satan had the power of death. He doesn't have it anymore.
Hallelujah.
Can you see that? What does he do now? He makes people afraid, that's all. And deceives people, that's all. He doesn't have the power. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Verse 15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You see, Jesus is the victor. Now imagine this glorious personality. He says, I saw one like unto the Son of Man. He says, he looked like him. But there was a difference. He was glorified. His hair was white as snow. Like pure wool. His eyes as a flame of fire. Wow. And John said, when I saw him, I fell as a dead man. And then he touched me. Glory to God. Tell somebody he's alive. He's alive. Boy, he's alive. Amen.
Stay tuned. Pastor Chris will be right back.
Are you ready for an exciting new global adventure? Atmosphere for Miracles. Pastor Chris teaching. Real miracles today. Inspiring worship. And so much more on the ever-exciting Pastor Chris online website. Just log on to www.pastorchrisonline.org and gain free access to life-changing resources and materials, all for free. You can also send in your prayer request and testimonies, read an archive of Pastor Chris Ukes, and get updates on upcoming events and programs, and send in questions to Pastor Chris. Watch him answer them live on the site. While you're at this, watch all your favorite TV shows on all Love World networks, including Love World Plus, Love World Sat, and Love World TV, right here on PastorChrisOnline.org. Laptops, tablets, mobile phones, and devices, it doesn't matter. Download the Pastor Chris Online app on any of these devices on their app stores. It's www.PastorChrisOnline.org.
Okay, so the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus is the Father's Word become flesh. Jesus is co-equal with the Father and co-equal with the Holy Spirit. So that's why we talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. But the Holy Spirit fashioned you. He made you. He was a craftsman. He created you. Amen. In His image. You look like Him. And you can understand now why the Holy Spirit loves you so much. And always wanted to be with you. And finally, the Father gave the permission for the Holy Spirit to come and live with you and to be in you. Remarkable. And so the Holy Spirit loves us so much, He put on our physical body to express Himself. Can you imagine that? He has become so one with us. The Bible says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Do you realize that when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you don't have two spirits in you? Do you realize that? The Bible shows us that He becomes so mingled with your spirit in an inseparable manner that you cannot be told from Him. There are no two spirits in you. When you're joined to Him, it's one spirit. You become as divine as He needs you to be, and He becomes as human as you need Him to be. That's why the Bible says He is touched with the feeling of our infirmity. So when you go through trials and temptations and pain, the Holy Spirit knows exactly how you feel. When you find yourself struggling and trying to make things happen and things are not working out the way they ought to be working out, the Holy Spirit knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly what's happening with you. What does He do? What's His job? I tell you, He came to make you a success. That's His job. If you will listen to Him, you'll be very successful. Let's go back to something He told us. Do you realize He is the Spirit of wisdom? And yet, Jesus, one of His names is wisdom. No wonder the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom. And He told us something. Proverbs chapter number 8. We're going to read from verse 20. Proverbs chapter 8. Are you there? Let's read from verse 21 to go. I lead. Oh boy, do I love this. I lead in the way of righteousness. In the midst of the paths of justice or judgment. I lead in the way of righteousness. In the way of righteousness, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Did you hear that? Not for my name's sake, for His name's sake. He does it because of Himself. So I don't struggle in my life. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now He tells us in verse 20, let's go back, read it, verse 20, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 20. He says, I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment. You see that? He leads you in the way of righteousness. The way of righteousness is the way of the Word of God. It's the way that we have been taught in the Scriptures. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment. What else? Verse 21, why? He says, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. And I will fill their treasures. In other words, he's saying, I'll make you rich. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. See why I tell you to speak in tongues all the time? Because you see, speaking in tongues is the communication of spirits. As long as you're using your mind to pray, you are limited. You use not only unsanctified words, you use limited vocabulary. And it comes through your mind. That means it's based on your thinking. The same words that you use in insulting people, you choose those words and reconstruct them to talk to God. It can't be high enough. It's not high enough. When you want to make changes, when you want to make an impact in the realm of the spirit, you have to speak in tongues. That's why he gave us a special language to communicate at the highest level. Some of you understand what I'm talking about. Imagine this. Imagine this. You have a friend. Sometimes you're talking with him in English language. In English language. But probably he speaks Yoruba. And you know you speak Yoruba. You might change from speaking English because now you really want to talk to him. Now you want to express yourself in a way that he can get it because you feel that there are words in English language that will not communicate what you really want to say. You see? So in the realm of the spirit, there are things that our spirits want to talk to God about, but we don't have words to express them. So the Bible says the Holy Spirit gives us this spiritual language and with the vocabulary formed by the Holy Spirit so that we can talk to God in a way that the Spirit can be understood and we can say exactly what we want to say to God beyond our minds. Brothers and sisters, those who function at the level of the mind are terribly limited. That's why I tell you, speak in tongues, speak in tongues. He says that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. Speaking tongues. There are Christians who are still asking, is speaking in tongues for everybody? I feel sorry for them. They're asking, is it for everybody? No, it's not for everybody. It's for those who want to get to the highest levels. It's not for everybody. When next they ask you, tell them it's not for everybody. It's salvation for everybody. It's not for everybody. It's heaven for everybody. It's not for everybody. He's by choice. The only thing is that he made it available for everybody. That's all. There's nothing compulsory. I told you before. Success is not compulsory. Is success compulsory? Must everybody be successful? No. But there are no middle grounds. Success or failure. So if success is not for you, you have made a choice automatically. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, nothing is compulsory. So what we're talking about is for those who want to live their lives to the glory of God. Now, will God be so happy that you are so broken and frustrated in your life? He says that I may cause... Listen, he says, I lead in the way of righteousness. I lead in the way of righteousness for this purpose. To cause you to inherit substance. This is the purpose of his being with you here. Leading you in the way of righteousness. Then you have a life strangulated financially. How then is his work being fulfilled? That means your life is not to his glory. Hallelujah. You make a choice. You make a choice. Life is about choices. Let me show you this. I was telling you about the the fact that the Holy Spirit carries this presence of God. You know, He's the angel of God's presence. If you read that little book, Seven Things the Holy Spirit Will Do for You, you'd see this there. Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 63. Let's read from verse 9. Isaiah chapter 63. In all their affliction, He was afflicted. Can you see that? He was pained with their pain. That's what it's saying. See? And the angel of His presence saved them. That's the expression, the angel of His presence. You'll see now, he referred to Him as the Holy Spirit. In His love and in His pity, He redeemed them, and He bore them and carried them all the days of old. Okay? Verse 10. But they rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit. You remember that? They vexed the Holy Spirit. Now, this is very significant, what I want to show you now. This is so important. He says, but they rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit. Therefore, He was turned to be their enemy, and He fought against them. Uh-oh. I like this. You know what I like about it? When God turns to fight you, it's better than the devil fighting you. Because God is merciful. When your friend is fighting you, the moment you say it's enough, he will stop. But the enemy will never stop. See? So when He fought them, every time they said, we are sorry, He also stopped and changed everything and became their friend. Don't find yourself fighting with God. Don't find yourself fighting with God. It will not benefit you. All right, it's not over yet. Can you go to verse 11? Then He remembered the days of old, Moses and his people saying, where is He that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of His flock? Where is He that put His Holy Spirit within Him? 11, 12 now. That led them by the right hand of Moses with His glorious arm dividing the water before them to make Himself an everlasting name. That's remarkable. 13. That led them through the deep as an horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble. See, He led them. The Holy Spirit led them. It says, He led them through the deep. It's talking about the water. You remember the Red Sea? He's telling us the Holy Spirit led them through that place. That's wonderful. Verse 14. As a beast goeth down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. What I like here is, again and again, it shows us how the Holy Spirit led this people. The Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit can lead you into victory. That's what He came to do. He said, I lead in the way of righteousness. He came to lead you. Let Him lead you. Let Him lead you. Somebody says, how can I be led by the Holy Spirit? That's why I said, speak in tongues. Because the more you speak in tongues, the more your own spirit will be tuned to hearing the Holy Spirit. Those who don't speak in tongues a lot find it difficult to know when God is talking to them. Can you see that? The less you speak in tongues, the less refined your spirit is. You can't hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Your mind will be dominating you. You hear more from your mind. You hear more from your thinking. And you can't tell whether it's your mind or the devil. And then you'll be confused and saying, well, sometimes I don't know whether it's God. Sometimes I think it's my mind. But the more you speak in tongues, the clearer and louder the voice of the Holy Spirit will be in your life. More and more it will get better. More and more it will get better. Tell somebody, learn to speak in tongues more and more. In the New Testament, what did Paul the Apostle tell us? He said, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. He didn't say, I will pray with the understanding and pray with the Spirit also. But most Christians That's what they do. They pray with their understanding and then pray with the spirit also. Can you see why they're limited in their lives? They're doing the opposite. They pray more with their understanding and pray little with the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues. But the Bible says, I'll pray with the spirit and pray with the understanding also. So the also is the understanding. That means that's the lesser kind of prayer. Praying with your understanding. Praying in whether it's in English or in French or in Dutch or in Igbo or whatever it is. You know. Once you're praying through your understanding, through your mind, that's the lesser type of prayer. Why was Paul the apostle so successful? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18. You see why that great man of God was very successful. Read it. One, two, go. Can you see that? This Paul, he knew that he spoke in tongues so much. So much so that he could tell the church, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. So he spoke with tongues frequently and often and abundantly. What are you going to do with your life? You can't just zoom. That won't work. It can't get the job done. You can't just say, la 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 la. It's a language. And you know something beautiful about this? When we speak in tongues, we have a language communicating with God that not even angels understand. Demons don't know what we're saying. Humans don't know what we're saying. Angels don't know what we're saying. And we're just talking to God. And he's the only one who knows what we're saying. Then we have other spiritual languages. And sometimes we speak in the language of angels. You didn't know that? That's why you should speak in tongues a lot. Because on some of those occasions, the Holy Spirit through you will give instructions to angels. But if you're not speaking in tongues, your angel can just be there. I remember a beautiful story told by Oral Roberts. And on this occasion, he said that the Lord Jesus appeared to him. And just behind him was an angel. A great, tall, huge fellow. And the Lord, you know, talked with him a while. And then he said to the Lord, then, who is he? And the Lord said, that's your angel. So that angel had been with him. But he never knew. Never saw him. But of course he would have known through the word of God that he had an angel. But, you know, they know this guy was the one. So he asked the Lord who he was. And the Lord said, that's your angel. He says, he's waiting for you to give him some instruction. And at that time, he needed certain finances. And they wanted to get some people to move into some property. You know, there's a lot of other detail. But then, the Lord said, go ahead and talk to him. Then the angel said to him, dispatch me. In other words, tell me to go. He was supposed to go and cause people to do certain things which he had been talking to the Lord about. And then he said, I dispatch you in the name of Jesus. And the angel took off. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Have you seen it? Read verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, Okay. You know, many people always like to concentrate on the wrong side of scriptures. If some people read that one now, it's only the lower part they will see. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, they won't see that. And have not charity, that's where they start having problems. I have not charity, I'm become a sounding brass or thinking, but they won't forget their second half. The first half, they have skipped. But look at, there's a blessing there in the first half. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Lord, you mean I can speak in tongues of men and of angels? I didn't know that. Glory to God. That's what it's about. So you do speak in tongues of angels. You know, somebody one time said, how can you say an angel appeared to you? What language do angels speak? How can you say God spoke to you? In what language? And he was laughing. In what language? In what language? God is a spirit. And he can speak any language. And you will hear him in any tongue. Irrespective of what he speaks. If he's talking to you, you will hear him. In whatever language you understand. That's not to say that's the language he spoke. But you will hear him in any language. That's the power of God. That's how come the Bible tells us that Saul of Tarsus, on his way to Damascus, when the light of God shone on him and those who were joining with him, and then the Bible says that they fell to the earth. He says, we were all fallen to the earth. He said, I heard a voice speaking in the Hebrew tongue. He heard it in the Hebrew tongue. Then he says, but those that journeyed with me heard a voice, but didn't know the meaning of the words. And yet those people understood the Hebrew tongue. Those are the kind of people that would have heard Paul saying that Jesus spoke to him. They'll say, that guy's lying. We were all together. They say, we were all together. Paul, why are you lying? Why are you deceiving people? They say, we were together. We had one sound. It came from up. It's true. It's from up. That's what they would say. They say, nobody heard what it meant. But I remember that when we all got up, Paul was blind. That's all they remember. You remember when Jesus, the Bible says, the Father spoke to Jesus from heaven. And others looked around and said, did you hear that? They said, they heard that. They said, it was thunder. Another person laughed and said, maybe an angel was talking to him. Because he seemed to be answering. They said, maybe an angel was talking to him. It was thunder. But the Bible says, God spoke to Jesus. Two friends were sitting together. An altar call was given. And the preacher said, God is talking to you now. To give your heart to the Lord. And one of them got up. The other one said, come now, where are you going? He said, didn't you hear him? God just spoke to me. He said, God, you have joined these deceivers. The guy went out, gave his life to Christ. The other one was waiting. We were together. He said, God spoke to him. I heard what he heard. It was not God. But God is a spirit. He talks to the spirit of man. So don't try to figure him out with your ears. He talks to your heart. The Bible says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly. Glory to his name forever. Are you still there? Moving right along. Now, Jesus brings in a new dimension here in St. John's Gospel chapter 14. We'll be reading from verse 16. It talks to us about the Holy Spirit. St. John chapter 14 from verse 16. It says, okay, let's go to verse 15. Let's speak it from verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Yeah. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. He says, I'll pray the Father. Go back there. I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now, when it says, I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Now, There were two words translated another in the Greek. All right? From where we got the English Bible. Both of them mean another. One will be heteros, and the other will be allos. Now, heteros means another of a different kind. Like, you can say, both of them were wearing two jackets. These two jackets, this is a jacket and this is a jacket, but this is a jacket of a different kind. Is that right? Now you can see this one and that one and say they're exactly the same. So you would say he had a jacket and she had another jacket. You would use heteros for that another jacket. Now if you meant another jacket of the same kind, you would say allos for another. Now the translation was that I will pray the Father and he shall give you allos parakletos. Parakletos means one to go with you together. It means one that's called alongside to help you as a strengthener, as a support, as a guide. Usually someone who is better than you, who is stronger than you, who knows better than you. Okay? All of that. So he says, I'll pray the Father and he shall give you allos parakletos. Now, meaning that Jesus was the first paraclete. You see that? And now he says, the Father will give you another paraclete. Another allos. That means another one that is like me. So Jesus, by this instruction, by this word, was saying, the Holy Spirit is like me. He talks like me. He loves like me. He sees like me. He thinks like me. He looks like me. He feels like me. He's allos parakletos. He's exactly like Jesus. So you can see Jesus says, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. Now he says another one is coming and is just like me. Praise God. So the Holy Spirit brings you the presence of Jesus, and that's why you experience the same things that the apostles experienced when you have the Holy Spirit in your life. It brings you the very same presence that the apostles enjoyed when Jesus was with them. Now go back to that place, St. John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 16. And I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. That's the word translated comforter, because the English couldn't get one good word for it. So they picked comforter, parakletos. And the Amplified translation gives you seven words to try to get that just one word, parakletos. They give you, he says, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. That's wonderful. That he may abide with you forever. Who is this? Look at verse 17. He tells you who. It says, even the Spirit of truth. So this comforter is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So the people of the world can't receive him. Why? He says, because it seeth him not. The world doesn't see him, neither knoweth him. It says, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. At that time, the Holy Spirit had not come to begin his operation, but his presence was with them through Jesus Christ. So it says, you know him because he dwells with you, but he shall be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you. The word is orphanos, meaning as orphans. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you helpless. That's what that word is. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Praise God. So he's telling us, I'll come to you. How? In the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. And he did. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if you have this Holy Spirit in your life, imagine what your life would turn out to be. You say, oh, I got the Holy Ghost. Great. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Have you found it? Verse 14. Oh, if you know the Holy Ghost, you will never be broke again in your life.
Amen.
This is reality. Look at this prayer you pray every time. Most Christians all over the world, they call it the benediction. They think it's called the closing prayer. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ says, let us share the grace. What we should be sharing, what we should be sharing is the fellowship. Do you understand? That is what he's guiding our minds to in this scripture. But we don't see that. So we just say, let us share the grace. Then we go, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means let us share the verse. You get it? Because when they say, let us share the grace, we don't do anything except to recite the scripture. So that's the understanding of most Christians about this. It is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. See, the scripture is not talking about the grace alone. Look at the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say one. And the love of God. That's talking about the Father now. Two. And the communion of the Holy Ghost. Three. Be with you. So there are three things there. We say, let us share the grace. What about the love of God? That verse is not talking about the grace alone. The grace of Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. He says, these three be with you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Stay tuned. Pastor Chris will be right back.
I'm sending out posts regularly, sometimes a post just to strengthen your faith or encourage you, and many times, very often on Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays, there are posts for prayer. And I'm giving you, as the Spirit of God leads us, guidance on prayer, what we pray together about all around the world. Now on Twitter we have over 1 million people presently. But on Yukos, we have more than 5 million people following us every day on Yukos. I want you to get to join these millions of people around the world who are with us, praying together the faith of the gospel, changing lives all over the world. Now, get on your computer and go right away to yukos.com/Pastor Chris Live. There you can follow us and receive posts that will encourage you and strengthen you. And this is so important. I want you to be one of these if you haven't joined us yet.
Log on now to www.ucause.com/Pastor Chris Live for details on how to follow and pray with Pastor Chris. God bless you.
So now let's go back to that verse and examine it. Put that verse on again. Let's look at something. It says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he said the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace. There's two things about that grace. The first one is favor unmerited. That means that favor beyond my qualification. Favor beyond my personality. Favor beyond my knowledge. He says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Oh, hallelujah. Are you enjoying that grace? Have you taken advantage of that grace? This grace means that no matter where you are, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, the love of God will give you the advantage. He will bring you out of trouble and place you on a high pedestal, where you can function in glory. That is the grace of Jesus Christ. He is telling you that when men don't think that you can do it, he will make you able. When people don't think you qualify, he will make you qualified. This is the grace of Jesus Christ. He says, let that grace be with you. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. Oh, glory to God. Experience that grace every day in your life. I told you, when that grace functions in you, even when things are not right in your life, you will find that those things will not be counted against you because of grace. But when a man is not functioning on that grace, every little mistake will be highlighted in his life. The grace of Jesus Christ be with you. Say amen. Amen. So recognize that grace. Walk in the light of that grace. Become bold in that grace. And you'll never be a loser in life. That grace protects you. They say something evil was happening on the road. They missed you. Why? You were covered by the grace. The grace working in your life. So you always have the advantage. No matter what happens, recognize that grace in your life. Always you say, I'm more than a conqueror. Irrespective of what happens, I'm more than a conqueror. You never lose. You never lose. Say, I never lose. Yeah, have you seen some people who are always crying about their losses? Maybe they lost money, they lost friends, they lost property, you know. They're always feeling so bad and so terrible. But when you function with this grace, you don't think about losing anything. How can you lose? How? When you're covered with abundance, how? Say with me, I walk in glory. Hallelujah. Then he said, the love of God be with you. Oh my goodness. I wish you understand what this man is saying. He's not trying to make God love you. No. He's talking about the consciousness. A consciousness of the love of God. The Bible says, we love him because he first loved us. Okay? We didn't initiate the love. He loved us first. And then we love him. But there's something about the love of God that gives courage, that gives strength, that gives confidence. The Bible says there is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. There is no fear in love. Meaning that when you know the love of God, when you know that you are loved of God, and you walk in that love. Look at John. John was confident of the love of Jesus Christ for him. He was confident of that love. When everybody was saying, who is it that will betray Jesus? Is it I? They were saying, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? Finally, Peter said to him, can you find out from Jesus? Why didn't he ask by himself? And John then, I mean, he didn't just care. He just went ahead and asked him. He was bold to talk to the master when the others were not bold enough. And Paul saw this and told us to take advantage. Praise God. Hallelujah. Walk in the grace. Walk in the love of God. Become confident of that love. That's why it was John who wrote so much about the love of God. He says, there is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. Tell somebody, there is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. When you know that God loves you, it doesn't matter where. They've just called your name. You're already afraid. I don't understand. I don't know what I did. Do you know what? I heard they're calling me. No, but when you have confidence in the love of God, you know you're covered. You know you're covered. Now, the third one, go back to that verse. Let's look at that verse. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Can you see that? That's the prayer here. It was a prayer. It was a prayer. So he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Come on, where is Jesus? He's in heaven. He ascended. He's in heaven. And the love of God, God the Father. Where is the Father? Okay, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you. Where is the Holy Ghost? Yes. Good. See, the Father is in heaven, Jesus is in heaven, but the Holy Spirit is here. So he doesn't tell us the grace of Holy Spirit. He doesn't tell us the love of Holy Spirit. He says it's something you need that should be with you. It's the communion, the fellowship. The word communion is from koinonia. It means fellowship. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. This is what we enjoy here and now by the Holy Ghost. Our relationship with the Holy Ghost is emphasized here. You need this Holy Spirit in your life 24 hours a day. He should become someone you recognize in your life. You notice, it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, he says it's a relationship. Because he's here with you. The Holy Spirit is here with you. So the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. How can you fellowship with the Holy Spirit when you don't talk to him? Talk to the Holy Spirit. If you had a problem, who would you talk to? To the Holy Spirit. Why are many Christians going without? Why are many broke? Around the world, there are many Christians. Because they are ignorant. And they don't recognize the Holy Spirit in their lives. Many hear their minds more than they hear the Holy Spirit. What is the reason for fights at home? Why do husbands and wives quarrel, even though both of them have the Holy Spirit? Even though both of them are Christians? Why do they behave as though they are not Christians? Because they don't listen to the Holy Spirit. This scripture doesn't mean anything to them. It means share the grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, be with us. Amen. And the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us. And they just make it a scripture. They've never experienced that scripture. The grace, the love, and the fellowship. And as long as you walk in ignorance of this, your life will be a frustration. You find that those who take one step forward and they're very happy to testify, then they take two steps backward. Then they say, I don't understand what is happening to my life. How can you understand what is happening to your life? When you're ignoring the Holy Spirit. When you want to do anything, do you listen to him? This is the Spirit that came to guide you into success and glory. So listen to him. He says, I lead in the way of righteousness. I lead. You want to lead him. Holy Spirit, as I want to take this step, I want you to follow me. Like somebody said, Lord, I want to marry this girl. I just want you to be with me. How can he be with you when you are telling him? He knows everybody. I told you, he made us. He made us. So he knows everybody. Nothing that he doesn't know about any human being. Now you're saying, I just know that this brother is for me. Okay. 3 months of marriage, you're already calling your mother to come and rescue you. You didn't know that the brother has two heads. Now you're looking for a pastor to cast out the devil. You know, someone gave birth to a child. When the little girl was 8 years old, the mother became afraid of the child. Afraid. Have you ever seen a mother afraid of a child? 3 years old. The father already said, you and this girl must leave this house. If you don't leave, I will leave. Then they didn't leave and he left, remaining the woman. So she said, to be sincere, I am afraid of this girl. The girl already told her she was going to kill her. Small girl, 8 years old. No, she wanted to have a child. She wanted to have a child. Now she got one. No, by the time a sister marries a disobedient brother who has a devil inside him, what kind of baby do you think they're going to have? A small devil. Small devil. 8 years old devil. tormenting them, and the father already ran away. Hallelujah. Tell somebody you need the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Oh, if only this Holy Spirit gives you guidance. Let's talk about something here for a moment. You know, before I go into the part of guidance, I've been explaining to you, you need to speak in tongues. You need to pray in the Holy Ghost. There are some of you here who haven't received the Holy Spirit. Or some of you believe that you have the Holy Spirit, but you don't speak in tongues. And you might think that speaking in tongues is not important. I've already addressed that issue. That you are a big loser without speaking in tongues, because you keep praying junior prayers. Junior prayers that cannot get anywhere. They can't change things. They can't effect changes. When the crises of life come, you can face them. Now, go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also, I love this, I love it. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Can you get this? We don't know what to pray for as we ought to know. But the Spirit, now old King James translation uses the word itself, and that's wrong. It's supposed to be himself, okay? But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He says, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. God said so. He says, you don't know what to pray for as you ought to know. So with your head, you cannot pray correctly. He didn't say, we know not what to pray for at all. He says, we know not what to pray for as we ought. See that? That's the voice of the Spirit talking to us. He says, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, this one is not talking about speaking in tongues. Because when we speak in tongues, the Bible says we have words that are inspired of the Holy Spirit. And so he says we're given utterance. But this one says groanings which cannot be uttered. What's he talking about? Every Christian who has the Holy Spirit has experienced this. There are even some who have not started speaking in tongues, but they have experienced this. You find that you're praying, but you're unable to say anything to God. You're just crying with deep sighs. You know, you're like, you don't know why you're crying. You're just sobbing. You know, you want to say something, but you're unable to say anything. You're not speaking in tongues. You're not speaking in any articulate speech, but you're going, and you can't stop it immediately. How many of you have experienced that? Can you see? I told you, every Christian who has the Holy Spirit has experienced this thing. Go back to the verse. I want to show you what's happening there. Verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Every time you pray and this thing starts, don't stop. Are you hearing me? Don't stop. That prayer at that moment is too important. I don't know how to explain this to you. Once that thing starts, you notice that you are groaning, don't stop. Continue in that prayer, no matter what. If it is not comfortable, convenient to continue in that place, get to wherever you can continue and go and continue. Until there is a release. When there is a release, you will know. Either you will find you just suddenly start laughing, or a song of praise, or you might find yourself just speaking in tongues loud, happily. You know, you will know that whatever it was that you were praying about has been dealt with. You know, many lives have been saved because of this. Many lives have been saved because of this. The many things that have been changed, situations changed because of this. Because the Holy Spirit wants to carry out His ministry through us. He says He intercedes for us with groanings. He intercedes for us. He doesn't pray on His own. He needs you because God does not pray. Who will God pray to? Don't you understand? But man must pray. Jesus said man ought always to pray and not to faint. You say, why did Jesus pray then? Because He was a man. As a man He prayed. Jesus was 100% man and 100% God. But the Bible says He laid aside His glory as God and became as a man like us, that He might take our place and be the sacrifice for our sins. So He prayed as a man. Men ought always to pray. He says, and not to faint, not to give up. No matter what happens, He says, don't give up. You can pray and change it. Nothing that cannot be changed. Oh, I don't know how to tell this to you. Nothing that cannot be changed. Nothing is ever too late. It's never too late. It's whether you know how to pray about this situation. That's why we teach people how to pray. Teach them the Word of God. Because many have problems they cannot solve because they don't know. He says, my people are destroyed because of the lack of knowledge. Not because God does not have power. He says, because of the lack of knowledge. They didn't know how to solve their problem. The guy had a problem. He was faced with difficulties. The crisis point had come. But he knew nothing of the answers. Had no solution. Sad. But happy is that man who, when he faces any problem in life, knows exactly what to do. You know what it is to face a problem and have no solution? They say the hour of frustration has come. And the matter beggars description. All of what he has known cannot solve the problem. No, I feel sorry for a lot of people who go through hardship. They go through difficult times without solution. And many times I wish I could share the word with them. But some are already in their mess and they're even too hardened to hear. And all you just look, all you do is look and feel sorry for them that they have to go through these difficulties, unnecessary difficulties. Unnecessary sufferings. Unnecessary pain. Why do men suffer like this? He says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. But I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men. Because they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. Hi! Walk on in darkness. Tell somebody, misery is unnecessary. Unnecessary. It's good when trouble strikes and you know what to do. Oh, glory to God. It's good when you know what to do and you're looking at a testimony. Every time trouble strikes, you are looking at a testimony. Rather than to be frustrated. And you're looking for help, you're looking for human solution, and nobody's ready to help you. Oh, the guy, only 15,000 naira house rent. He doesn't have. Now they're asking him to pack out. They pack out for 15,000 naira. Pack out. He's born again. So he comes outside. He stands like this. He says, oh God. God? God is saying, oh you. You see, because he's touched with the feeling of our infirmity. If he had the Holy Spirit, he says, ah, Pastor, I have Holy Spirit. It's not, it wasn't Holy Spirit. Yes, you have Holy Spirit, but you don't know him. You know him as a tongue. You know him as a prophecy. You know him as a shaking when you shake. But you don't know him as a person. If you knew him as a person, let me read something to you. Go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 45. He says, thus saith the Lord, from verse 1. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him. Now I want you to see this. Okay? Now, there's so much for me to have explained to you about this Cyrus thing. So, forget about Cyrus. Look at you. Because this thing is addressed to you today. Okay? So he says, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him. God can subdue nations before a man? And I will loose the loins of kings. That means that we have no strength in them. To open before him the two leaf gates, and the gates shall not be shut. Are you following this? Go to verse 2. I will go before thee. Say, he will go before me. Do you know who he's talking about? This is the Holy Spirit is talking. He says, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Hold on. Let me show you something. God talks about doors and gates. Are you hearing me? He talks about doors and gates. When he tells you about doors, he's dealing with things like God is opening a door of a new business for you. A door of a new blessing for you. Do you understand? There's a new job and he's opened a door for you. That is small. He says, I put before you an open door. Maybe because there's a project and so you're going to get it. Maybe there's a contract and so you're going to get it. So he's opened a door before you. But when he starts talking about gates, you better listen. Doors leading to rooms. Gates leading to cities and nations. Hallelujah. Are you hearing this? So he's talking about cities and nations. Go back to that scripture, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 45. I'll go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces. You see, no one can stand up to God. It says, I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Verse 3. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness. And hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. Go ahead and get it. Woo! Hallelujah. Did you see that? Let's examine it. Go back to that verse 3. Let's examine it. You see, he says, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. You see, he straightens your way. It's been crooked. Somebody says, my life has been difficult because you didn't know the Holy Spirit. If you recognize the Holy Spirit in your life, he will make the crooked places straight. You will find that you are journeying in a straight course. He says, I'll give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. He'll do it. said, I'll break down the gates. I like that. That's why I said, when I go to any nation, no nation can be closed against me. No nation. No nation. When I walk in, I take over. Bandogo Barahaya. He said, I will break down the gates before you. He says, the two lift gates. He said, I will bring them down and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Are you still there? There's so much I could tell you. Mandogobora Badage City. Let me show you something. In Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to what? Profit. Which leadeth thee in the way that thou shouldest go. Now listen. In a time of crisis, where all the economies are postulating and all they can say and all they can see is gloom, he says, I am the one that teaches you how to profit. They say there's no more profiting in this business. I, the Lord thy God, will teach you how to profit. Why don't you listen to him? I said to listen to him speak in tongues. You will hear him speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. When you speak in tongues, he will talk to you. Speaking in tongues will make you sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. It will make you sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Then he will give you ideas. He will talk to you. He will breathe his word into your spirit. I'm very successful. And I will always be. For a simple reason. The Holy Spirit. I listen to the Holy Spirit. So he makes me successful in everything. That's why I'm sharing this with you. To listen to the Holy Spirit. He's accessible to you. He lives in you. Don't ignore him. Listen to his voice. Listen to his voice. And then you will not make a mess of your life. Listen to his voice. There are too many people who have made a wreck of their life. Made a mess of their life. Because they ignored the Holy Spirit. They ignored the Holy Spirit. If you will listen to him, he'll make you a success. And he'll do it in everything. You find that you're living an absolutely balanced life. There's no lack in anything for you. Glory to his name forever.
If you've been blessed by this message and would like to order for other inspiring messages and resource materials by Pastor Chris, please log on to www.christembassyonlinestore.org.